Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Again, Acts chapter 17. Again, we looked at those first nine verses last week. We're going to look at verses 10 through 15 this morning. And if you have found it or if you're close to it, go ahead and stand as we, out of reverence, read God's word. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea. On arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. The people were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, since they welcomed the message with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Consequently, many of them believed, including a number of the prominent Greek women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica found out that God's message had been proclaimed by Paul at Berea, they came there too, agitating and disturbing the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul away to go to the sea. Silas and Timothy stayed on there. Those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and then after receiving instructions for Silas and Timothy to come to him as quickly as possible, they departed. Father, thank you this morning for your word. God, thank you for the understanding today that your word transcends time as you do. Father, there's nothing that your word does not deal with that we will face, and nor has anyone in history faced something that your word will not give pure, clear, direct understanding in how to deal with it, how to wade through it. God, thank you that you are faithful, you are trustworthy. Father, today, thank you, God, for the fact that we know that the love for you that you have for us, God, knows no limits. The depth of your love for us is incomprehensible, and I'm so thankful for that today. I'm thankful today, Lord, as your word says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, thank you for that. Lord, whatever today would be hindering us, even in this moment right now, allow the things that are clouding our minds, our judgment, Father, allow those things to slip off into the distance, God, so that the next 30 to 40 minutes or whatever it might be, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through your Spirit's power and presence like no human ever can nor ever will. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, so that you are the sole one today that is glorified. Father, you deserve it all. You are our King, our Lord, our God. And if there's one in this building or watching online today or will in the months ahead hear this message, Father, I pray that you would continue to do a mighty work through it. God, not one word more or one word less than you once spoken. Father, we give all this to you and we ask it in the precious name above all names, our Lord, our Savior, our King Jesus, we pray. Amen. May be seated. It's ironic that this happened this morning because I really love this part, these verses, this story. You know me, I love Acts, right? I love it all, right? I preached through Acts in 2008. As a matter of fact, next month, I've been here 15 years, and it's one of the things I did first when I started here. We preached through Acts. I think it took over 2 years. If you know, we're in what, week 60 now, so I think we're going to end up topping it. I haven't heard anybody say you're bored. I guess you probably know. By the way, it wouldn't offend me if you're like, Brother Jonathan, listen, I'm wore out on Acts, and I might slow down so that maybe you can even more so absorb it because Acts is amazing. I love Paul. Not only do I love Paul as a person that had such a passion for Christ, but I love the fact that that is such a demonstration and a magnification, exemplification of the love, the forgiveness, the purpose, and the plans of God. Here's this person that was as ardent as he could be as a God lover. He loves God, right? He's a Jew. Look where he'd been schooled, Gamaliel, right? The most premier school of religious law he had been schooled under. So when Christ comes, you know, the Jewish people reject, the stone the builders rejected, they'd rejected Christ. So Paul is trying to extinguish these infiltrators that are trying to rob people of truth. He's doing it with the greatest of intentions. And see, that's the thing we always, as humans, end up doing, don't we? It's interesting that 7,500 years of world history, that in the last 30 to 50 years, we've all of a sudden decided that the pattern with which God's relationship structure has been built under, in all of these other things, we've become so wise, and it's such a manifestation of Romans chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, the book of Jude, you know, Romans chapter 1. They knew God's righteous decrees and that those who deserve death, they not only did them, but approved of those who did, right? We are people that are watching in front of us one of the most incredible, literally it is standing in a room, pouring gasoline around you and lighting it on fire. Because our culture is disdaining truth. They disdains everything that represents righteousness and truth and godliness and holiness and the things that'll bring peace and joy and contentment and fulfillment. And we're watching Romans chapter 1 on a level like never before unfold in front of us. They knew. We know. We did not see it worthwhile to what? Retain the knowledge of God. So he gives them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not be done. And then you got the first level, that's the filling. They immerse themselves, and then you got the final part of that judgment that God fills. And I think we are at some point of that. And how many times do you hear somebody go, I never in a million years would have thought, would have seen, right? And it's like, it's this picture of, well, we can't get any worse. You ain't seen nothing yet, right? Again, depravity knows no limits. And that's the beautiful part of God, truth, and the Word, because what it does, you've heard me say this, you know, don't ever say, look at them. No, I say by God's grace, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit that holds back. It's only by God's grace that I'm not them today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. I realize there's nothing that is in me that is good apart from Christ. There's nothing that any of us are not capable of this morning, church. We've got to recognize that. So when I look at Paul and I watch this incredible redemptive work of Christ on the road to Damascus, right? What a beautiful picture of the love of God demonstrated, but also Paul recognizing, oh wow, this is the Savior, this is the Messiah, the very people he is persecuting in short order. He is going back to proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming hope, proclaiming truth. Do you think he was mentally ill that he would have gone to that level of literally that fast? That's the power and the work of God. Amen? And that's what's so nice as you see this. But then we get to the Bereans, and I love the Bereans. Why do I love the Bereans? Because they were people that wanted truth. Anybody in here like me? I might not like what the truth is, but just give me the raw truth. Then I can work with you. But if you sit back and want to blow smoke, you know, you heard it called smoke blowing, right? You want a smoke screen. You want an illusion. Don't get out of my face. I don't have time for that. You can give me the truth. I don't care if it's one of those that makes your mouth drop, because then we have something to work with when it's truth. And maybe, as I had even a few years ago, I had one of our brothers in Christ was so excited about watching, because he comes in one morning, dead serious. Brother Christ comes in to about three or four of us and says, I'm not doing good. Not only am I not doing good, I don't want to read the Bible, I don't want to pray, I don't want to be here, and I just thought I'd be honest with you. And I was like, man, give me a hug, man. Thank you for saying that. And we not only prayed over that brother right there, but began to encourage him, to, you know, text him, check on him, and walk with him out of this valley he was in. See, I've been at places where if you said that, you might as well have said Jesus ain't real. And you would have been the subject of everybody's conversation. I don't know what's going on with him. He must be messed up into something. So I've been in places where you'd never even say that, because the response would be anything that is far away from godliness, righteousness, truth, or anything. And what are we doing then? You're just nothing but a big old facade, a lie. It's sitting there purporting let's just go in on Sundays and put on our God face. If you're here this morning and you're struggling, hey, praise God, I'm with you. I understand life is tough. If you're going through a deep valley right now, but you're desiring, even right now, if your mind is far away from the things of the Lord, but you're honest with that, me and Jesus aren't tracking right now, and I'm not doing good. You know what you're going to get from me? You're going to get a hug, and I'm going to tell you I love you, and I'm going to walk with you, I'm going to disciple you, and I'm going to minister to you to the extent that you will allow me. Because, see, that's where victory, that's where deliverance comes from. But when we do what so many have done throughout history, and by the way, this is the notorious curve right here, down here at Mr. Joe Neal's house. This is, I call it the curve. All of the fights on the way to church that you have, if you remember, right when you start to turn that curve, all right, we're about there, we'll pick this up later on. And then we put on our Jesus face, we get out of the car, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing? And what happens when we do that? Now, do I believe you should come in the church on Sunday morning perpetually, consistently, continually deflated because you fell for the foolish lie that the enemy did in getting you to argue about something that didn't even matter in the first place on the way to church? No, I think we should be able to see those for what they are and go, listen, we're not letting you have that. In the name of Jesus Christ, get thee behind me. Anoint your car if you have to. Fill it with the Spirit, the power, and presence of the Lord on the way to church. Listen, we are not going to allow you to interrupt our worship because our lives are a perpetual state of worship, and we're going to rebuke you at every turn. And we are going to be so consumed by the power of the Spirit when we get to church on Sunday mornings that you're going to have that smile that I have sometimes. Brother Jonathan, are you ever not like that? It's almost overwhelming because I have to choose the joy of the Lord. That's why the medicine that I'm on right now for my ADD that's a non-stimulant, I'm kind of not liking it much. And the reason I'm not liking it much is, remember now, it calms me down, but this new one that's a non-stimulant one, I almost feel like it's taken my from 50 and put me on about a 9. So it's kind of a weird feeling to go from 50 for 48 years to a 9. And I know it's going to, you know, maybe it'll get settled in and it'll be okay. But I'm hoping that in that, you know, it'll help me not only focus a little bit better, but also lower my blood pressure at the same time. But I don't want to play games. I don't want to be a facade. I don't want to be a joke. I don't want to be a person who is not genuine. Amen? So we've got to see these things, and that's what I see in Paul. I see such an authenticity. Because authenticity I have so much respect for. I disdain the lack of authenticity. I disdain playing church. I disdain it. I do. As a matter of fact, that's why I walked away from the faith at 15 years old, because I saw so much duplicity. I saw so much of that, what do you call it? There's that word. Hypocrisy. Thank you, Dan. Hypocrisy. I can't stand it. And that's why with me, when I'm having a tough time, church, I get up here and I tell you, I'll never forget a Sunday morning that I had everybody get up and pray over me, if you remember that in the old building. I was under such attack from the enemy. I said, y'all, I got to stop right now. I came down and y'all got it. If you remember back then, you put your hands on me and prayed over me right there in the middle of the service. Imagine if I come in here and put on a facade for you that, hey, everything's wonderful all the time, and I don't share with you when I've had a tough week or when I'm under spiritual attack. Imagine what you do. See, you see me as this person living this life that is completely unattainable, and you end up going, what's wrong with me? I call it the Facebook effect. I hate Facebook. I can't stand it. The reason I can't stand it is when you look at the statistical analysis on what happens with people that have it, they actually are less fulfilled and less happy than people who don't have it. You know why? Because people don't do what I would do if I had it. If I had a bad day, I'd have my thing on there going, you know, I'm having a tough day today. And the majority of the times that I'm doing really good, I'd have all that on there. But see, if I was wanting to play that normal Facebook game, I only show you the image from my house where I just planted everything and it looks really good. And when the car's washed and the inside's vacuumed, I'll look at my car. And when everything's want, you got all of these fake presentations that make it look like, look at their garden. Right? It's the one time that you were able to weed it, and then a week later it looks like something off of one of those hoarder's houses. But yet you took the picture of it when everything looked beautiful, and then the person who's living normal life, right, where 99.999% of the time there's weeds and nothing bore fruit and your tomato plants fell over because you forgot to stake them and the tomato worms got all of them and you didn't get about three tomatoes out of 19 plants, which is the real reality of life. No, you only see this presented image that everything's wonderful. So when you get on there, if you're a normal person, you go, what's wrong with me? My car never looked like that. I've never even had a car that looked that nice, and my house has never looked like that. And oh, look at their kids, they look normal. They didn't tell you that, you know, four of their 12 kids have been in rehab and, you know, they're not hitting the lick and they're right. They're not telling you all the real life, just meat and potatoes of life. And that's why I appreciate Paul. I appreciate Paul because he's honest. He tells you the things I want to do, I don't. The things I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. There's authenticity in it. And this morning, this is what I love about the Bereans, because with the Bereans, they're not taking what somebody says to them as truth. And that's the same way today. If you watch the news for your political advice, I feel bad for you, because you have been filled with smoke. Smoke and mirrors. If you believe anything even about COVID, if you believe anything about finances, and you watch it and you've gotten it from the news, I'm sorry, you are dense. I just put it that way. Because they tell you what they want you to believe and to think and the way they want you to believe and think. See, the Bereans wouldn't do that. They weren't that foolish. They weren't going to be taken for a sucker. Remember y'all from the 50s, you know what a huckster was, right? It's a person that was a flim-flam artist. They were tricking you. They were called hucksters. What do we call them now? They're crooks. They're flim-flammers. Charlatans. They're selling you a bill. They're Bernie Madoffs. You know Bernie Madoff, right? The guy, the biggest Ponzi scheme, stole more money in American history than anybody else has. They're those kind of people. They're liars. Presenting, purporting themselves to be one thing, but they're not. See, the Bereans, we're not going to fall for that and fall into that. You know what they would do? They're going to hear you. They're going to listen to what you say. But then what do? Look at there. The people here were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. They're hearing the message, right? As a matter of fact, I love it in verse 11. They welcomed the message with eagerness. They were excited to hear the truth. But there's a parenthesis. But they examined the scriptures to see if these things were so. I love that. Church, can you imagine what it was like before the Reformation with Martin Luther? Not Martin Luther King, we're talking about long, right? We're talking about Martin Luther, the 95 Theses nailed to the church at Wittenberg, meaning you should be able to have your own Bible. The priest should not be the supreme expositor of Scripture. You should be able to get in the Word and see for yourself what the Bible says. Because until this point in time, you weren't to get a Bible and you weren't to read the Bible. You were to be told what you should believe. I might be born at night, but I wasn't born last night. You know, that's the kind of thinker I am. Thankfully, Martin Luther had, he had spiritual but also clout within the community. That's the reason he didn't end up dead. Because until that point, anybody who ever confronted the church, spoke out against it, they killed them. There's some really nasty stains throughout history. That's why I'm so thankful for the Bible and why I tell you consistently how important it is to read the Bible every day, let God speak. Don't just listen to what I say up here because I say it and, well, therefore you're going to believe it. No, I want you to be a Berean. I've said this over and over and over again. Because I, like anybody else, could fall victim to the inclinations of the human condition not restrained by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, until the day that you die, spend your time in the presence of the Lord so you are able to discern what? Wickedness, deception. You know this, church? The more truth deception has in it, the more dangerous it is. The more truth a lie, deception has in it, the more dangerous it is. And it's why I share with you consistently the picture of what happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They are living in perfection. They have everything. There's nothing at all that's been withheld from them. They are in fellowship with God to a level that we can't even fathom. They have everything. So when Satan comes, he says, did God really say? He doesn't even say, hey, come over here and try this. This will be really awesome and this will bring you. He asks a question. Did God really say? He wants to throw confusion in by merely a question. Did God really say? And what's so sad about the whole picture of what happens is the thing that he promises them, they never get. Well, maybe you want to say they got it. Yeah, they got robbed of everything that had ever been awesome, wonderful, beautiful, and perfect for them. He didn't promise that. He promised that they'd be like God, they'd know good and evil, and it would be a wonderful thing. They would be getting an addition to what they already had that would bring them a level of fulfillment that God had withheld from them. We know the implications of that. We know what happened, the results of what happened. They are removed from the blessing of the good and perfect gift. They are removed from not being able to know what it's like not to have sin as a continual companion. They are robbed from. What's so ironic is throughout history, we want to look at deception, whether it's addiction, whether it's buying the lie culturally. You know, we're not going to call anybody he, she, me. You know, no one has any identity anymore. We don't want people to be a boy or girl because, you know, maybe you'll find a fulfillment that will find you at a place where you'll be fully fulfilled because it doesn't matter. Eat, drink, be married, for tomorrow we die. Meaning, you have no definition anymore. You are just a blob of flesh floating through the great abyss. Go find some fulfillment somewhere. I'm sorry, but you know that who we are, again, remember I got my nursing license last year. You can give me an x-ray of your pelvis and you can tell me whatever you want to tell me. I can tell every one of you what you are. I don't care what you want to say. I can say I'm a hamburger. Give me your x-ray and I'll tell you you're not. I'll show you. You can't fake that. We are what God made us. And whether we like it or not, see, the problem doesn't lie with God. It lies with us. It lies in the very thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. And it is these words, the lie. The lie. Oh, you're battling right now because some girl at work, guys, is telling you that, well, if I was married to you, I'd treat you so much better than they would. And girls, that guy is saying, you know, man, if you were my wife, I'd buy you, I'd beat you this, and I'd blah, blah, blah. And they're literally just like a bunch of blah, 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 promising this golden rainbow of life that's going to be so amazing and so fulfilling. If only you were mine. Trying to rob you from what's real and what's tangible right now with a lie that says if, selling you a pipe dream, if, again, I was born at night, one last night, I've seen that play out thousands of times in my 48 years, it's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. It doesn't matter if it's that or maybe today you're having trouble with your finances, and you're the person that handles finances at your work, and you've been looking at that money that you count every day and going, you know, they make so much of that, and I've been having trouble. They should have given me that raise that they promised me they were going to give me, and I'm just going to start taking a little bit of what's mine and what I know I deserve and what I should be getting paid. And you see the PTAs, it happens all the time, the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, it just happens all the time. It's the lie. And by the way, it doesn't matter how much you got, it would never be enough. It wouldn't. I shared what week ago or 2 weeks ago about Jack, the guy that won the biggest lottery in American history, the guy with the cowboy hat. If you remember in the 90s, And I shared with you the story about how his granddaughter died of drug overdose and how this destruction that was reaped, this whirlwind of destruction in his family by this thing that had, in the very beginning, I'm going to build a church, I'm going to do something, I'm going to help people. Yeah, we have the greatest intention to do. It's like I told you right now, if somebody came and said, listen, Brother Jonathan, I'm going to give you $1 billion. Remember, $1 billion, if you were to count a dollar a second, it would take you well into 30 years to count it all. That's how much $1 billion is. Oh, okay, I'm going to say it myself. I'm going to go get that G650, right? That Gulfstream jet. I'm going to go get it this week. And then I'm going to start preaching in Dubai, and I'm going to start in Sri Lanka, and I'm going to go to Hawaii and start preaching, right? I'm going to do those really good. Yeah, I know, right? 6 months from now, I've preached nowhere, and I'm drunk or whatever. I'm drugged up or whatever happens. There's destruction, a whirlwind of destruction that has followed because I meant well. Amen? Or we can be a Berean and hear what we don't want to hear. Is there anybody in here who goes, you know what? If I'm out of line with what will bring me fulfillment, peace, hope, joy, I want to know it. Actually, I do. You may say that, but honestly, do you really? How many times I've been called and said, Brother Jonathan, I want to leave my wife or my husband, and you know, they're this and they're doing this, and you know, do I have a biblical ability to do it? And do you think I want to be the person that says you don't have a biblical ability to do it? You think I want to be that person? No, because I want people to like me just like you do, but yet there's this element that I'm bound by, and it's truth. That's the issue. Because we can live our life, we can live in a mental state of absence of truth, living by the proclivities of the human condition, but see, then we don't live truth. We buy the lie. The lie is that there's going to be a fulfillment, there's going to be something outside of the context of God's supernatural design for his people to find that level of fulfillment, and it's merely a lie. And you never, ever, ever find it. See, that's the problem. You know, right now, there are people who have had changes, operations from one to the other that are actually going back and suing doctors and suing the people that did counseling now. They're furious. It's happening a lot. I've been reading story after story after story. You know why? They decided they didn't like that, but guess what? There's a certain level of change that once you've changed, you can't do it. And now they're going back and saying, why did you not have a greater level of criteria for me doing this? Because this has detrimentally affected me because I was influenced by this cultural wave, so to speak. And now I can't go back and fix this. Why did someone not shout louder? Read an article this past week. Someone who had been vaccinated, who is now under the implications of that, having serious physical things that had happened as a result of it, the doctors say this has actually happened because of that. They wrote an open letter saying, why did people not shout louder telling us the dangers of what they did? What? We have choices that we have to make every day, and the question this morning to all of us is this: are you a Berean? You know what? I can go out there and get too many x-rays and get cancer one day. You want to smoke cigarettes? You smoke cigarettes. And as I said this morning, how many billions of years has Philip Morris and all of those, you know, companies, billions of years they've stolen, robbed from families, not even talking about the financial part of it. That's one thing. That's just temporary. You live 80 years, you've lived your 80 years, and you're done, right? But see, this is implications that are much greater, that extend far-reaching, not just now, but into eternity. Again, what is eternity? When you think about that little bird I talked to you about, the illustration I heard 10, 15 years ago about eternity, trying to comprehend it, because we do a better understanding of things when it has to do with time. We're people that bound by time. In eternity, we won't be, but think about it. Little bird, get a big bird that flies fast, and let them go to the East Coast and start in Maine or start in Key West. I don't care where you want to start. One beak at a time. Get a beak, fly. Let's just say this bird doesn't have to sleep, doesn't have to eat, doesn't have to do anything, and all this bird does is fly. And it gets a beak full of sand. Let's just say it's that big. After it gets done emptying the entire East Coast from Key West to the upper New England shores, it hadn't even begun Eternity hasn't started. That's not even the intro. Can you imagine? This is eternity. We better think long and hard about what we are buying into now, because it doesn't just affect this short dash. How many times have I, at funerals, I talk about it every time, the dash, the importance of your dash. What are you doing this morning? Or what are you not doing that you should be doing? What are you doing to affect this minuscule amount of time that you have on this terrestrial ball, which is nothing? I don't care how young you are. I was the age you all, every one of you there. The only ones I haven't been is if you're over 48 years old. I haven't been there yet, but I am on my way. Lord willing, right? But one way or another, I'll be alive somewhere in eternity future. And I know because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and placing my faith and trust in Him and saying, God, in the warped understanding and desire of my human condition, I can decide that I want to go out and live in a way that you say will bring me complete destruction and will not allow me to dwell in your presence, not only now in a relationship, but in eternity. And I can tell God all day long that I'm going to do what I want to do and you're going to like it. I can. The same way, though, that as a child of a parent, when your parents meant business and said, if you do X, this is what will happen. I'll just tell you, go into town and do 80 miles an hour up Madison Street and say, I don't care what the Shelville Police Department says. They can't tell me what to do. You might get away with it for a minute or two. It won't be long. They're going to give you a driving award. But actually, they're going to probably put you in jail. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter that you're a sovereign citizen and these laws don't apply to you. You can tell yourself whatever you want to tell yourself. You can go out and spend all your money on lawyers that say, because of this or that, the laws do not apply to me. And you know what's going to happen? You're still going to find out the same thing that every person in history finds out. You can believe whatever you want to believe. I can believe whatever I want to believe, but truth is truth and it doesn't change. The reality of consequences down the road that you or I did not believe would happen. Church, this is, and we're closing soon. Do you realize that hell will be stacked full of people who did not believe that there was a heaven or a hell? Do you know that there will be people in a place called hell? Remember what hell is. Don't forget this. It is merely God giving us our desire to be separated from Him. Us telling Him, I will do what I want to do, and you're not going to tell me. And God says, okay, have your way. That is the manifestation, the reality of what that place we know as hell is. God wouldn't send nobody there. He doesn't. You send yourself. You desire to stay out of God's presence. He merely gives you your will. But there will not be a person in heaven that did not believe in the Son of God, the Son of God that died for them and paid sin debt. There's not going to be anybody in a place we know as heaven that said, I don't believe in it. It's only going to be with people who believe that Jesus Christ was God's Son, that desired to fellowship with that God, that recognized that they were a sinner, and that's the love of God and the manifestation of that is recognizing we don't deserve it, but it's by grace we've been saved through faith. This morning we can be Eve. We can be Adam. Again, God doesn't say you can't do that. He loves us, though. And He says, hey, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He's saying, yes, you're a sinner, but I love you so much that I paved the way, and I have given you this free gift, the only religion on the planet, the only one, by grace and through faith. The rest of them are a works based at a chance for some reward. And evangelical Christianity is by grace, we've been saved through faith, not of works. Church, I ask you, be a Berean today. Go see what I'm saying and prove me wrong. This morning, let me give you these three real quick. Search the word and know the truth. How many times we heard in a movie, know the truth, the truth will set you free. Dead Man Walking, Susan Sarandon, and whatever that fellow's name is, Sean Penn. The movie's about a fellow who was convicted of killing two teenagers. And I remember her saying that, know the truth and the truth will set you free. He didn't want to admit his part in what he did. He said he didn't do it. But this morning, know the truth and the truth will set you free. What does the truth set you free from? Not only the sin debt that we have, but it sets us free from believing a lie that will put us in a place where we'll never experience the fulfilling peace of the architect of our life's purpose for creating us. Think about that. You can be a Prius. You can be a Geo Metro and say, I'm going to go mudding and I don't care what the architects intended for me. I'm going to do it and I'm going to be successful at it. You can go for it. What will you find out? You're going to have a high dollar paperweight in short order. Doesn't matter what we believe. It's the architect's plan for our life that matters. And this morning, I care so much about you. I want you to search the word. Do you hear what I said? Search the word and know the truth. I didn't say listen to what I say and know the truth. I said search the word. Search truth. Search this. How many people wrote the Bible, did not confer together, did not talk together, had no fellowship together on all the continents over all the 1,500 years, but yet it's one perfect storyline from start to finish. Amen? Search the truth. Know the truth. The truth will set you free. Don't buy a lie. Lie always appeals to my feeling. This is what I feel. You always hear it. This is what I feel. This is what's right for me. You can follow that lie. But understand in your very words what you're saying. You're searching something and believing something that is rooted within yourself. What I've found out about myself is I am really bad at discerning my own intentions of my heart. I can convince myself if I sit there long enough, but I want truth. And that's why I say this morning, search the word, know the truth. Second, let the encouragement of God's work in hearts strengthen you for the battles. Let the encouragement of God's work in hearts strengthen you for the battle. Watch what God's doing in your heart. Watch what he's doing in the people around you that are growing deeply and passionately in love with Jesus Christ. Search the stories. I can send you hundreds of them right now, people all over the globe who have been born in and followed deceptive religious things that the Spirit of God revealed themselves, his self to them. And these people are coming from, in many cases, religions where there's a great potential of death for turning their back on that religion. But literally one after another, day in and day out, the stories of these people having Jesus come and reveal himself to them. Hearing these stories, by the way, what does the Bible talk about? In the end times, I'll pour out my spirit in dreams and visions. Amen. Amen. God is so good. And then finally, church, third and final, ministry must continue the focus on the message, never the messenger. Ministry must continue the focus on the message, never the messenger. What am I saying this morning? Don't focus on what I say. Focus on the message. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I would encourage every one of you this morning, every single one of you. I don't care even if you're a born-again follower of Christ that's sold out. Step back, do a checkup from the neck up today. God, am I walking in truth? Father, am I walking in religion right now? Am I what I'd say as a follower of Christ because my mom, my dad, my grandmother, I don't care what your mom, dad, grandmother, I don't care about any of that. I care about what is going on in you. What's going on in you? Why are you here today? Are you here today because you want to know truth? Praise God, glory, hallelujah. This building will not save you. I can't save you. Your mother, your father, your aunt, your uncle, your grandmother, your grandfather, your friend, no one can save you. Only Christ Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, and the substitutionary atonement, where what he paid for you and I on the cross, what we did not deserve, he says is a free gift. By saying, I recognize God, have been separated when Adam and Eve sinned. Imagine the perfection on a plateau. And when that sin happened, this is what happened. There was a separation from God. What is that center chasm? That's hell. That is what it is. Mankind was separated from God because the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death means a separation from God. So this morning, we can end walking out in this life, leaving that spiritual separation in place. Or when we look at what the Old Testament is, it's saying, hey, you can't fulfill the law. You cannot restore fellowship with the Father. But I'm pointing to what will. And that was when Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, you think about the cross and how it spans that chasm. And by the way, think about it. The narrow road that broad is the road that leads to destruction. What is that based on? Human desire, human thought process, human rationale and reason. What do? I don't need that. I'm walking it. Phew. How many times mom or dad, oh, you got saved 50 years ago. I don't know why you think you're lost. I remember when you got saved and baptized. Don't ever say that to your child, mother, father, friend. If someone's under conviction, you begin to pray with them because God may have them under conviction. Amen? You don't ever stand next to them, rubbing their back and telling them everything's going to be great and phew, pushing them off into eternity separated from God when the Spirit of God's dealing with them. Be honest. Hey, maybe God's got you under conviction. Let's just pray that God would affirm your walk with Him or reveal that you may not be walking with Him because that narrow road that leads to life, the scripture Matthew chapter 7 says this, the narrow road that leads to life and only a few find it. Narrow is the road that leads to life and only a few find it. Think about what that picture of Christ in this great chasm of separation from God. It's broad, it's huge. Many are there that go. Narrow and only a few find it. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. Focus this morning, church, on the message. I share this morning because I wasn't walking around saying, I don't have nothing to do for the next 25 years, so I'll just go be a preacher because I don't know anything else. I'm here today because I love you. I have 1,000 other things I could be doing today. But God called me to do this today, and I love you, and I love truth, and I love to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ like I did September 20th of 2004. That's why I'm here today, because I want to see that happen in your life. I want to see you go from living the lie like I did to living in the truth of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards your heart in Christ Jesus and then guards you from the lie. Because how much could I hate you to not stand here this morning and proclaim that truth? And I close with saying this. If you're here today and you know you're out of step with God's design and His plan for your life, I pray an unsettled heart like never before in your life. I pray that you can't sleep. I pray that you can't sleep like I did for almost a month when God was calling me in the ministry. I pray you lay in bed tonight and you're tormented. I mean this. That's how much I love you. I pray you are so unsettled that you literally are at the point of having to go to a mental institution because you feel so unsettled in your spirit, because that's how much I love you. And I know today that you will be like myself, so consumed with anxiety, and that's not even the beginning of what this place we know as hell offers to those who never find the perfect place of peace. And I know today that what happened to me September 20th, 2004, when that hole in my heart, when that complete spiritual growing up in the church family, growing up with a dad that was a preacher, swearing I'd never be a preacher, couldn't stand Christians. I hated it. I hated to hear him talk because all it to me represented was duplicity. And it represented legalism, acting a certain way to be holy or righteous. And see, that's not what it is. It's by grace and through faith. It's the perfect path, the perfect plan that God has for our life, that we will find a fulfillment that we will never find in our life. I've been broker and had less as a follower of Jesus Christ than I'd ever had in my lifetime, but I've had more fulfillment as a follower of Jesus Christ than I ever had with all the things that I did and the things that I had when I was lost. This morning, where are you at? Where's your heart? What's going on in your walk or lack thereof? I pray today, if you'd say, I don't know what would happen if I breathed my last breath today, I pray that during the invitation this morning, that if you recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior, recognize that you're not doing it because why? Well, you just don't want to go to hell, but you want to be fulfilled and you want to experience the peace that the architect of your life intended for you. I pray that during that invitation, you'll grab my arm or say in my ear, I need to talk to you. Ladies, we have one of our ladies that'll talk to you. I'll talk to you, a man or men. I care about you this morning and want to see you experience God's design and his purpose for your life. But you also have the ability to walk out that door and say, that guy's full of it. Hey, be a big girl, be a big boy, own up to it, go for it. I will promise you, you'll never find what you're looking for. I assure you. I'm not dumb. I'm not a rocket scientist either. But I'm smart enough to know that you cannot find what you're looking for in this world apart from him. Who him? God, the Creator, the Lord, the Savior. And this morning, he loves you. He desires to fellowship with you. It leaves it in your ballpark what you're going to do today. And I ask all of us today, step back. What is the sum total of your life? Where are you? Where have you been? But most importantly, where are you going? Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.